Welcome to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night.
This is the final installment, part 3 of 3, of the Anarchy Gumbo interview with Dick Dale. Anarchy Gumbo is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Wait a minute, I got to do something here. Hold on.
All right.
Okay, I got to take this and go into, you know, that's how much they know. It wasn't that. It was the way I was playing in the first place. The album was already called Surfer's Choice, you know, and King of the Surf Guitar and Let's Go Trippin' and all those songs that had already been on the playlist hits. So that's another part of the story that they don't know, you know.
I got a couple questions about people you've influenced. And also just, I want to know about if you've ever worked with or met the producer Joe Meek.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember names.
Okay. Have you ever listened to the band Dead Kennedys?
No.
Their guitar player sounds so much like you. It's uncanny, man.
Yeah. When I get to playing, I'm done. I have many windows in my life, you know? And I'm not a born, what they call, dedicated musician. I play by ear. When I get to performing and playing, I go home. And I do something. I either went surfing or flying my plane or I'm building a house or, you know, and now, because I'm dealing with my medical issues, you know, I got to wear a bag the rest of my life, and I'm in renal failure right now as we speak, and I'm doing this all doing my concerts. And all of this, you know, all of this that's taking place, you know, I'm not able, it's throwing the crap out of my body.
Wow.
And I want to get back in the island, back surfing, but all the radiation wiped out the strength in my lower regime, in my hips, my legs are very weak and everything. But I get on the stage. I mean, they were carrying me on stage before I got my strength back and putting me in a chair. And that's how bad it got. I went down to 150 pounds, and all you could see was skin laying on my bones. That's when I had to lay in beds, stay in beds. And then my wife got my weight back up again, and I have it back up again. People say I look better than I've ever looked, period. And it's because of my beautiful wife, Lana, who doesn't walk by me without putting her hand on my forehead, checking my temperature and everything else, and making sure I'm eating, because I never used to eat. So I'd go all day doing something, you know? So, you know, that's...
Yeah.
I just never got involved with... Working in Reno, Tahoe, Vegas a lot, I learned from people like Liberace, watching them perform. I worked with guys like from Johnny Cash, Tex Ritter, Ernest Tubb, Lefty Frizzell, all these people, and I watched how they performed, what they did, and I learned from all of that. And but then I became very physical on stage when I was performing gigs. It come right from inside my guts, my body. And in fact, the country players used to say, "Dick, stop moving around so much. You're making us look bad." Because they used to love to just stand there and play. In fact, Stevie Ray, first music that he ever learned playing on the guitar was Dick Dale albums, he used to say. And when we were doing the beach party thing, we got nominated for a Grammy on that, doing, I think it was Pipeline. I says, "Back to the beach, thanks, honey." I said, "Let's go for it, Stevie." And so he goes, "God damn it, I'm trying to make it look simple." So anyway, it's stuff like that. I mean, all these people that I've been indirectly involved with that used to open for me when I was performing, from Buddy Holly to all the way to SpongeBob, you know. Yeah, I did the music for that. So.
Oh, wow.
And the Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I know it. And in fact, they've got me orbiting up in Mars, and in the satellite that they sent up there, and they put a chip in it, and it's got Dick Dale in it, and it's got they sent me the picture of it taken off from the Earth, and yeah, she says they picked the right place to send me to Mars.
That's kind of full circle there. You know, you I had to ask where you're from because you started the interview saying something about Earth people and how they played music. Do you feel like you're from somewhere else or like you're just temporarily here?
Sometimes I wonder. When I say Earth people, I'm talking about the grassroots people, the people who have been digging ditches all their lives, the farmers, the ones that, and then they learn to play music, ones that do learn to play music. I'm talking to grassroots, the real grassroots people who, the down-to-earth people, thank you, honey, the guys that fought in the dugouts in the war, and I mean, this is, there's so much to be done. Like, when the guys give up their lives, they leave their wives for 2 and 3 years, their unborn children, when they give up. You know what it's like to leave your closest ones, your loved ones, and never see them for 3 years, and then come home without a leg and arms, and all of a sudden you've got to fend for yourself, and all that kind of stuff, and they should be given insurance, and I mean they went to give their lives, and they get, what do they get for it? Nothing.
My stepson Sean is in the Army, and he's a huge fan of yours, and he wanted me to say hi to you. A lot of people said to say hi, but I want to say that Sean said to say hi to you.
Yeah, well, God bless him, and for doing something that, what can I say? I'm going to tell my wife this. He lost his daughter at 20 years? How old was she?
She was 24.
24. And she went through some pretty heavy shit, and but anyway, I mean, to lose one of your family, you know, that you're close to, and you know, the kids are supposed to outlive their parents, not the parents outlive their kids, and you know, but as I say, when that pain, it's like a boat being pulled from its mooring in a storm, never to come back. You know, the pain, there is no words. There are no words to take away pain, and that's what I tell people when they've lost their loved ones. But they are with you. That's right. We have proof of that, which I never believed in before. I didn't believe in anything unless somebody came up and shook my hand and said, "Oh, I'm your ghost," you know. But my wife is what they call a sensitive, and she's been that way since she was born, and she's seen these spirits sitting in her crib, and they, when she was a baby, and they talked to her and told her certain things and everything else, and now she sees my mom and my dad, and talks to them, and so I used to try to trick it, to find out, you know, ask questions that only my mom would know, and only my father would know, and Lana would not know, and all of a sudden, sentences come out of her mouth with my mother's accent, dialect, and says things that she used to say to me as a child. How would Lana know that? And she even told Lana, when Lana first contacted me through an email, when she saw how, I'll tell you a quick one. When Lana was 2 years old, She never knew her father. He was killed by a train. And her mother, and they were very poor. She's a black person. Her great grandmother was called Cherokee. And they were very poor, and her mother with MS. So she was taking care of her mother at 2 years old. Her mother gave her a Dick Dale album with me holding one of my tigers, me looking straight ahead, called The Tiger's Loose. Lana looked into my tiger's eye because she loves these animals like I do. She feeds over a dozen coyotes every night. She calls them out of the desert, and she gives them names. They bring their babies to her. Hey, last night, honey, it sounded like there was 1,000 coyotes calling you out there last night. And anyway, she goes out in the middle of the night in her damn bathrobe, sits down and calls them, and they come to her, and she feeds them. And anyway, she looked into the album and looked into my eyes at 2, and she told her mother, she says, Mommy, one day I'm going to be with him the rest of my life.
Wow.
Figure that out. Then she was going to be a nun. She wanted to be a nun as a child. And she followed me through her life, never contacted me because I had been married. And then when the divorce came, which was a hellacious divorce, horrific. And anyway, she told her mother, her angel that she speaks to, Bernadette, said, contact me because I'm very ill and I'm dying. She told her mother, and the mother said, email him. And she emailed me, and we started talking on the email, and then we started talking on Skype. And we learned how to do that and learned how to talk and not cost so much, but she could see something was wrong. We spoke for 19 months, 10 hours a day, while I was on tour in Europe. And she saw something really bad, and she said, I'm gonna come to you. You cannot die. And she was taking care of a woman that was 80-some-odd years old, and she was going back to France, so that's why she was able to do that. But she had no money, and only her savings, what she had left. And she was taking care of her mom, too, with her stepdad, who was a retired police officer, and he just retired sergeant. But she prayed to her angel, and Bernadette said, go and to the quick picks. She's never done that. You know, the scratch off? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she did that, and she won $400. And she got on the plane and came to me and has been with me ever since. And we got married in Hawaii we've been together now over 8-9 years. But the thing lies is, I've never had anybody love me. And I never loved anybody. Because love comes with earning that. When somebody is doing something for you, taking care of you, if they really take care of you 24 hours a day, like on a Monday or maybe a Wednesday and a Friday, that's one thing. But when they take care of you 7 days a week, nonstop, 24 hours a day, and their whole life is dedicated to you, that's called total dedication. And that's the way Lana has been with me ever since we've been together. And all these years we've been together now. So that constitutes respect of love. That's true love. And that's why we feel this way together. We love the same things. We can listen to Patsy Cline all day long. But we have a special bond, which is not a normal bond like people try to do. And that's why we were married in Hawaii, because that was my other home for so long. But she sees things. And she talks to my mother. When Lana first emailed me, she was contacted with her angel, and the angel told her to contact me. And she contacted me. She says, "My mother, your mother is very beautiful." And I said, "My mother's dead." And she said, "No, she came to me in church and put her hand on my shoulder and said, 'Please take care of my Dickie.'" No one has ever called me Dickie in my life. except my mother, and she told Lana that she chose Lana because my mother said she hated everyone that had ever been around me. She didn't like them, anybody. She thought they were crazy and taking advantage of me, and all these people were just along for the ride, and that's what it was all about. When I was dying, I had nobody taking care of me except myself, just lying in the bed. Huh?
Tell him to emphasize the word nobody.
I said nobody.
Yeah, because
I just said that.
Anybody.
There wasn't anybody.
No one.
So she's the one who saved my life, and we've been together, and we'll be together till we both die. But she talks to my mother and my father. They're with us when we ride down the street, and they use the energy out of her body, and then she gets very ill. Because they use electricity, they say, electrical energy. So that's something that I've grown to understand. And because my mother tells her things that only my mother used to tell me. I tried to trick my father one time. They say that they can see me, they can hear me and everything, but I can't hear them. But now I am feeling something where, like, the calf of my leg when I'm laying down on the bed face down, and Lana's in another room, I feel something just squeeze my calf of my leg and touch me. So I say, Lana, ask my mother. Because when she says my mother's around me all the time. They're there just to watch us, to protect us. And she said, she asked my mom, she said, did you touch Dick? She says, yes, I squeezed his leg. And so these are things that some people, even though I can't see them, but they can hear me speak. And I'll tell you a quickie one. My father loved boats. And when I was a kid, I heard that he had bought a Chris Craft and one of those speed boats. He took my mother for a ride in it, I heard, and she said, get rid of that goddamn thing, because it went so, it scared her. So I tried to trick him by saying, I said, hey, Dad, you can hear me. Lana says, you can just talk to him. You don't have to go through me. So I said, hey, Dad, what was your favorite boat? And I figured, because that's the only boat he ever had. And I figured he'd say, yeah, the Chris Craft. And there was silence. There was no answer. And I asked him again, what was your favorite boat that you liked the most? And all of a sudden, Lana's mouth opened and spoke and said, the Clipper. I like the Clipper. Well, I never heard of a Clipper. Yeah. He says, I like the Clipper the best.
I always did.
And he says, I always did. She's telling me now what he said.
Yeah.
And I never heard of a Clipper, never seen a picture of a Clipper, so I don't know. And I'm still trying to say, well, come on, you had a boat. I didn't want to give it away. You know what I mean? I didn't want to give him a clue and say, Dad, what about the Chris Craft? And then he would answer and say, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I didn't want to do that. I wanted him to come up with this. And so anyway, he didn't come up with it. So finally I broke down and I said, what about the Chris Craft that you bought? And right then out of Lana's mouth came my mother saying, I made him sell the goddamn thing. Too much, too expensive. And that's the way she talks. She's all good old Pollock, you know. And she said it every day. If you were too fat, she goes, you're too fat, stop eating. Or if you're too skinny, she goes, you're too skinny, come on, sit down and eat. And she's just that way. She came out with the same talk. And then my dad said, I remember that. Now, I got into, got home. We got home after the tour. I was talking to my cousin Bobby, who's in his 80s. He's 80. And he's my dad's sister's son. So I says, Bobby, did you ever hear of a Clipper? And Bobby goes, yeah, that was your dad's favorite boat. He used to go fishing on it all the time. How do you like that?
That's amazing and beautiful, and I don't even have earth words to describe all of that, man.
Yeah. Well, this is what's going on. And one day, maybe I will be a sensitive like Lana. But something is happening. I did feel the touch, and my mother takes so much energy out of her when she's talking to her. And my father talks to her, tells her what kind of merch to make. What he's a merch man. He's saying, put Dick on the, put him on the air and put the Deltones on the air and make some pins up and do this. And she says, God, I can't sleep. She can't keep up with them. And, but everything they say, the words, the phrasing, we were in Massachusetts, where I was born, in Boston, and I was raised in Quincy, Massachusetts. And Lana, I was taken her to the house where I was raised. We walked down looking at the beach, and there was a bunch of trees and bushes, and she said, something happened there, Daddy, two people died. I see them. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, I see them. So the kid that was with us, and the kid that I was raised with across the street, the other kid was part of the family over there. He said, yes, it was my grandfather. My grandfather drowned trying to swim to the boat in the storm because it broke loose, and he couldn't swim, and he drowned. And the other death was a drug overdose of a person. She told them first that somebody, two people died.
It was men.
And then when we were driving across the bridge, you know, because of the problem that I have here and renal failure, I was trying to hold it, you know, to get to the motel. I can get there. I'm holding it. She goes, honey, you got to stop. You're gonna have to go. It's going to be dangerous. And I go, I can do it, you know, like that. And all of a sudden, she starts twisting. I goes, you okay? And she goes, your mother's yelling at me. I goes, what is she saying? She says, tell Dickie to go. What did she say?
Tell Dickie to go take a piss for Christ's sake.
She goes, tell Dickie to go take a piss for Christ's sake. That's exactly the way my mother used to yell at me. So I have, you know, they'll be in the car with us all the way driving to a gig. And there's just things that go on like that. So you're going to have faith in your loved one and know that they're there, and they see you, and they can hear you.
And I can honestly say they do.
And she can honestly, Lana says she can honestly say that they do.
But there has to be some kind, I can tell you one thing about it all, real quick. There has to be some kind of a closeness between the parents and you, or the grandparents and you. And that's why some people, families that are,
are you there? Can you hear her?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you have family that are close, that can ruin the chances of them again. They don't come back.
Hand the phone to her. It's picking up about half of it.
Oh, okay,
here I am.
Okay.
What happens is when you have families that are not close, sometimes the relatives do not come through what they tell me is the channels, the different channels. And it's like a time machine that goes back and forward. And they can cross through, and they can speak to you. But with me, they've always chosen me. When I was a child, a very young little girl, I used to see spirits. And the spirits were either they had been killed, they were unhappy. I can't tell you how many I saw. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And the things they would tell me and the things that I was so sensitive as a kid, and I was an only child. I was a real sensitive kid, and I think that has a lot to do with it. My mother is extremely sensitive, and she's an artist, and that's how I was able to pick up on these things throughout my life. Wanting to be a nun was for a time when I was a child, and I've got a real spiritual way of looking at everything, you know, the earth, the animals, everything, people. And I just see things a certain way, and these spirits have to communicate with somebody, so they for one, chose me, and there's a million other people on the earth as well that can do it. And I think if you just open yourself up, you can feel and see just about anything. But you have to be a very open person. People that have shut themselves off to it all, they'll never see these things. You have to be sensitive and open. And that's all I can say on the subject. I mean, that just about sums it up. So I will give you back to Dick. Here he is.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
And, yeah, and she does these things. I mean, we were driving back.
Hey, at some point, I think you switched in the to a phone.
Yeah, I had to switch to a wire to a wireless.
Okay.
Because I had to deal with my body.
Ah, okay. Well, we can make it work.
So anyway, that's there are things like we were coming back on tour, and we're in Oklahoma City playing at a place called the Ranch Market. And it was a big, giant, old building, 100 years old. And as we pulled up to the place at night, she says, "Honey, 4 people have died here." And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, "I just saw them." And I says, "Holy, okay." So we went to the concert, and I spoke to the owners afterwards. And then I asked the owner, I said, "Did anybody die here?" She goes, "Yeah, 4 people died here." And told me all about it, when, blah, blah, blah. And Lana had seen that. We were in another place going down an elevator in an old, old building. And Lana said, "I see a fire. And 2 firemen, 2 fire people fighting the fire died." And the guy says, "I hate going down this elevator. I hate this elevator. It's evil. It's evil. I just keep feeling things all the time." And Lana said, "The 2 firemen die here?" He says, "Yes, they died right over in there." She said, "Well, I see the fire." And she saw the guys.
Wow.
So she, and you know, she reads people, and she can look at a person and say, "That person is evil." She can tell what they've done in parts of their life because it flashes by her. And it's pretty wild. And we have a spirit here at the ranch. And I remember when she was coming here for the first time when I picked her. She flew off from Florida to help me, and she'd never seen mountains before, and she just loves it here. And of course, she cries every time we come up a dirt road, which is a mile long, and because she loves it so much when we're coming back from our tour. And she asked me, she says, she called me Daddy because I've always treated her like a dad, and it was, you know, she never had that family before. And she says, "Daddy," she says, "are there Indians here?" And I says, "Yeah, there's burial grounds all over the place, you know, it's all Indians." And she goes, "They're here now." And she didn't want to tell me too much because she didn't want me to think she was nuts. And you know, she kept it away, you know, until we finally sat down one night because something very mysterious happened here. And he says, "They're here." And then all of a sudden, one night she came in tears. And then she said, "Daddy," she says, "I just saw a medicine man. I was in taking a shower, and I looked in the pool room, and the dog was, was growling at it. And he was very tall, and the medicine man said that he was here to heal me. But he said, she's sick too." And she came and told me that. And she got scared because she doesn't want to get them angry at her. And I tell her, saying, what the F are you doing here? You know, I just get in their face if I saw them. And she says, "Don't do that," you know. And I keep on telling her to say that. But anyway, one night she was making me something to eat in the kitchen, and she came running down, and she was just wearing her T-shirt, and she goes, "Daddy, Daddy, he's behind me. He was behind me, and my back really hurts. It really hurts." And I said, "Lift up your T-shirt." And she lifted up her T-shirt, and there was 3 claw marks from her neck. They were spaced about an inch apart, and they were 1/4 inch wide through the skin, all the way down from the top of her neck down to the base of her spine. And it took me, with ice cubes, about an hour to make them dissipate. Well, she used to get those, she told me, when she was a child, when she was a little girl, after they would speak with her. And then she looked up in the computer, you know, all over the world about that happening, and it happens to thousands of people all over the world. And then we saw it happening to a guy on Ghost Hunters just recently. And he had dropped him to the floor. He's yelling and screaming, and they said, my back. And they lifted it up, and there were the claw marks right down the same ones that she had years ago. So, all kinds of weird things have happened. And so I really got upset about it. And being with monks before, I went into my chants that we used to use for disciplinariness within ourselves, number and get killed. And I went into that, and I told the ghost, I just said, don't F with her, man. You're going to screw with me. And that's all there is to it. And I got into his face, if he was listening, and then I started to meditate. And what happened was, when I came out of it, her back was burning again. And there was the claw marks coming down, but they stopped halfway. And in 12-inch letters, high, perfect, it through the skin, a quarter of an inch wide, were my letters, D-D.
Wow.
And I have pictures of all of that. And I took it with my iPhone. And it was me doing battle with him. He's letting him know he's there, but I'm letting him know I'm there. And so for so many months, he stopped doing it. Then we were on the tour. I was telling my bass player about it because he gets nervy about everything, and I just don't want to scare him. He's hilarious. He can't go by a hospital without... That was Ron Eglet. He used to work with me years ago, and he's always stopping at a hospital because he's a hypochondriac. And what happens was, I was telling him about this, what was happening. And some people will listen and go, oh yeah, until they sit in front of her and they'll actually see it take place. And all of a sudden, as we're talking, he freaked out and he looked at her legs. She started burning. She looked at me. She says, Daddy, I'm burning. I goes, Ron, lift up her back. So he lifted up her T-shirt. And he almost passed out because he saw the claw marks on my letter. He saw my letters and DD. And sometimes they will come on her backwards. In other words, the D making it left and the D making it right, like that, when it really gets involved. But normally it's plain DD. All of a sudden, they came out on her neck, and they were about 2 inches blood red to her skin. And it was on her neck, and it came out on her tops of her thighs. And I took pictures of that because we started talking about it. Because the spirits can travel anywhere. They go to any dimension. I mean, we had one follow us from Hawaii, and he was a very famous Hawaiian surfer. And I knew who he was. So there is something out there with people who have the God-given talent of being a sensitive. And it's the first time I've ever, had to witness it. Because I've just seen what? I've just seen drug addict lunatics. Nobody can believe I went through all those eras without taking drugs and booze. And it was so funny. But anyway, that's what she does. I mean, she sees things. I mean, she knew one of my best friends for many, 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 many years. His mother died, and Lana, we were talking about it. He was there. He tried studying the stuff that Lana has, but he got so confused. But they have to come to her. And he was there in the vehicle with us, and we were talking about his mother because his mother really liked me, and I liked her very much. And then all of a sudden, He goes, yeah, and he was thinking about his mother. And he was a non-believer of what sensitivity is, because he tried to research it, and he just got confused, so he closed the books and became totally negative about it. And but then when we were talking about his mother, Alana, all of a sudden her mouth opened and said she didn't die, she was murdered. And all of a sudden his head turned around, and he says, Jesus Christ, that's what I thought too. And it was her husband, you know, his stepfather, he is. And he was from another land. And what happened was that she turned around and said, he gave her black liquid every morning. And I said, yeah, that's what he did. He told her to drink this. He says, it'll make you feel better. It's medicine. And it wasn't. It was a poison. And he never had her. It was in her coffee or tea. She couldn't tell you what it was. She just said it was black liquid. And he didn't. He wanted to have her do an autopsy, but he didn't do it because he was so messed up. And then he said they fought. And Alana says they fought. They fought a lot. And then I said, they did. And it was about her will. And Alana said it was about her will. And Mike says, my God, it was about the will. And that's what it was. And then she says, he told the police he was in the kitchen when she washing dishes when she fell on the floor in the other room from the bed. And Lana says he never washed the dishes. He never did dishes. He never washed one in his life. And the son, stepson said, that is goddamn true. He never was in the kitchen. You know, he never washed dishes. And then she said they didn't even sleep together. And he goes, that's true. He always slept on the couch. So it freaked him out completely, because it was all coming through Lana's mouth. So figure that one out.
Wow.
Because, what'd you say, honey?
I knew you were ill through your mother.
He knew, Lana knew that I was ill through my mom. She didn't hear about it on the news. It was my mom who came to her and told her. But I was dying at the time. I was supposed to be dead.
So,
and she wasn't about to let me go. Because she never got married. She never had the boyfriend. She always told everybody that she was saving herself for Dick Dale. And her parents told me the whole story.
Wow.
So it was amazing. So, you know, so when you say, what do I think I am? I think I am when you say an alien or whatever, maybe I just think I'm Johnny Appleseed, traveling across the country, planting seeds of not only apples, but seeds of ways that people can look at life a little bit differently that'll make them feel better.
We appreciate that.
And know that there is hope, and know what roads to go down. Because I tell everybody, listen, everybody is intelligent. Monkeys are intelligent. I mean, but intelligence becomes your worst enemy. Why? Because all these different roads that come up in your mind from your intelligence, you start going down, and what happens? You usually get your ass kicked. And so, what controls intelligence? Only one word. It's called wisdom. And where does wisdom come from? Age, making all the mistakes you've made in your life, not to go back down the same road again. And that's what I tell people. I said, learn from your mistakes. And learn from mistakes of others. And what I do is, when I'm trying to learn how to build something, do something, I take the ego and throw it out the door and say, excuse me, I come to you with an open heart, open mind, open hands. And how did you build this building? And then if they're kind enough, they'll give me instruction and stuff, and I'll take notes and I'll do it. So I tell everybody, everything, you know, fear, there's nothing wrong with fear. Fear is a tremendous motivating force. Just never allow fear, never allow panic to overtake fear. And that's the difference. So let the fear become your driving force. Fear is nothing but lack of an unknown, not knowing what it is. And when you find out what it is, now you can control it. So that's what I tried to do. And I'm kept alive, I believe, for, like you said, the music being a door opener for people to come into so that you can give them a little bit of penicillin in a very polite way. Because I have many windows in my life. And that's what I do. I don't stick and stay in one. I'm constantly going into another, to another, to another, to another, to another. And that's why I show kids that when you get so screwed up and you have to go into a gang and you've got to, because you've got nobody else to show you this other road to go, you know, there are so many windows you can look through and be a part of. And you get them started. And that's basically it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, you ever going to be coming to one of my concerts?
You ever coming through Wyoming?
No. When we do our northern tour, we go, as I say, from Idaho. And
you do Denver, though, right?
We go through Denver, yeah.
Denver's drivable.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So our next northern tour, we just did that. We just did our northern tour. That was one we did 33 concerts in. Get on my webpage, dickdale.com, and hit the tour dates, and you'll see when we list our tours. We're doing a short one, only 13 concerts on this one on the West Coast, up to Washington and back. Cool. And then the next one will be a southern tour all the way to Florida and back, starting in Arizona. And Florida is where Lana was born, in St. Petersburg. And then we do northern tours, southern tours, western tours, stuff like that.
Excellent. Well, if you're ever coming through Wyoming, you'd be welcome to stop here and spend the night or have dinner or whatever.
Well, thank you very much. And
we got room. We got room.
Thank you very much for that invite. Just say every once in a while, get on my webpage and see if I'm going to be coming near you.
All right. We got cats, too.
You got cats? She loves cats,
yep.
Yeah?
Yep. We got cats.
Yeah. All right. Well, you take care, and
thank you both.
We'll see you on the next one.
Take care, man.
Okay. Good health to you, and God bless.
Bye.
And Lana says thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And that is part 3 of 3 of the interview with Dick Dale on the Anarchy Gumbo podcast at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com. Kitty feet, like the feet of a cat. Kittyfeet.com. Thank you.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
Thank you for listening to the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
Anarchy Gumbo is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
All with a rotating guest on a spit. Barbecued for your pleasure.
Outtakes, yay.